my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, well, we are in our series entitled My Best Friend, the Holy Spirit. And we said, you can go to Hebrews, the sixth chapter. I'll be there in a minute. Hebrews, the sixth chapter. And we said that Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher and the bestest friend that we will ever have. Isn't that right? And so I've really enjoyed teaching this series. And we talked about who is he? And we said that he's our helper, he's our friend, he's our God. And then we asked, is he a person? And we found out that he is a person. And we said that it's important to understand and have a revelation that he is a person, because you can't have a personal relationship, with anything, just anything, but it has to be a person. And so you can't develop a personal relationship without the Holy Spirit if he's not a person. And then on Sunday, we talked about, is he Pentecostal? And we talked about Pentecost and explained it, what it was, and we talked about the day of Pentecost and kind of what happened on that day, which brings us to really where I want to go for tonight, which is part four of My Best Friend. I want to talk to you really about being filled with the Spirit. How many of you all have at least heard that terminology in church somewhere, or somewhere just by a show of hands? How many have at least heard that? Okay, a lot of us in the room. Some of us haven't, and that's okay, because we're going to get a clear definition on it on tonight. I think this is one of the big divisions as it relates to doctrine in the body of Christ when it comes to the Holy Spirit and heavenly language and tongues and that kind of thing, partly because people were a little too spooky with it, you know, just to be honest with you. And how many of the Holy Spirit's not spooky, right? People are spooky. You got it, but Holy Spirit is not spooky at all. As a matter of fact, he's a gentleman, and he doesn't push anything on you. Isn't that right? Yeah, and so let's go to Hebrews, the sixth chapter. In Scripture, we find the word baptism is applied three different ways. How many different ways? So in the word, we find that baptism is applied three different ways, and they are all separate experiences. When you see the word and get an understanding of it and begin to understand, you know, what it means, we see that there's three separate experiences. The word baptism is translated in the Greek baptizo, to dip, to immerse, to submerge, or become an integral part of. And so what we're talking about, I want to talk about being filled with the Spirit, but before I get to being filled with the Spirit, I want to explain to you the three baptisms. We're going to talk about the first two for a little bit, but we'll talk about the third one at length. And so Hebrews, the sixth chapter, and the first verse, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, I need y'all to help me with verse 2. Look at verse 2 clearly. It says, of the doctrine of, what's that next word? All right. Now, is that singular or plural? Plural. Okay. So even the Apostle Paul, as he's teaching and he's been beginning to talk about these, you know, these different things that we must learn as believers and those kind of things, he says of the doctrine of baptism. So it's plural. Of course, he goes on and talks about laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, and that kind of thing. But I just wanted to pull that out to give you an understanding that there are three different baptism in Scripture, and they are all different experiences. Now, you all know that anytime I teach, period, I have a lot of scriptures, right? And when I teach on something that is that has this much confusion, I make sure that I overload you with scriptures, so that way you have a clear understanding, and pastor shows it to you, you know, in a lot of different ways. So I have 17 scriptures. Praise the Lord. So we're gonna see if we can get to them all. Amen. But wouldn't you have me rather have me giving you 17 scriptures from the Word of God than giving you my opinion or something I read in a book somewhere? Isn't that right? All right. And so 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, and of course, there's so many of them, so you know that they're going to put them on the screen, and we'll go with them one after one after one after one. So 1 Corinthians, 12. Do you have it in the KJV or just the NIV? Just the NIV? Okay. So that's 12 and 3. I want 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Did I not give that to y'all? Maybe I didn't give that to y'all. So anyways, let there be. And there was. For what? Okay, so, and I really need you to follow closely with me in all of these because I'm going to be pulling some things out of all of them. And so how many different baptisms?
Three.
Are they the same experience or different experiences? Different experiences. All right, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. For by one Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, he's the one that brings us to Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, we thank God for that, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And so we see, for by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, the body of Christ, and it is the Holy Spirit that actually brings us to Christ. You can't get saved without the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 and 3. 1 Corinthians 12 and 3, and watch what it says. It says, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. He says, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is the one that brings us to Christ. Really, when you begin to understand salvation, salvation is where the Holy Spirit takes you from the family of Satan and baptizes you and joins you into an integral part of the family of God. That's really what happens. And so so let's talk about these three different baptisms. Are you ready? All right, number one is water baptism. Number one is salvation. Kind of got ahead of myself. Number one is salvation, and we just read these scriptures, and the Holy Spirit does this, all right? So salvation, everybody believes in. Romans 10 and 9. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart, I shall be, that he was raised from the dead, I shall be saved, right? So how many are saved in the room and know you're saved? Okay, how many of you were there when Jesus was on the cross? None of you. But you're still saved, right? Because that was not the criteria. The criteria was to accept him by faith in my heart. You got it? For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we see that there is, you know, salvation, which is the first baptism into the body of Christ. That one's real easy. Okay, now let's go to number two, which is water baptism. Water baptism. Again, this is a different experience. One of the first times you really see water baptism in the scripture is when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Y'all remember that? He baptizes Jesus. Jesus comes up out of the water. The dove descends. Holy Spirit comes down. And then we hear the voice from heaven, which is the Father, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, let me go back to the salvation baptism, the one where we're baptized into the body of Christ. This is the only baptism that is required to go to heaven. All right. Now, I believe you need the other two, but this is the only one that's required to go to heaven. I have to be saved to go to heaven. So if I get saved and end up not getting water baptized, it doesn't mean that I am not saved. Because a lot of times you'll hear people tell you, if you didn't get baptized, you weren't really saved. No, that's not true. All right. So now, this is a different experience. I like to call it the wedding band of Christianity. Baptism is once I've given my life to Christ, now I'm going public with this. I want everybody to know, you got it. This is my next step, as the case may be. It's the wedding band of Christianity. And so the local church does this. And so go with me to John, the first chapter and the 33rd verse. John, the first chapter. In the 33rd verse, he says, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same he said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, talking about Jesus, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And so we see in this one scripture two different baptisms. We see the baptism of water, and then he talks about how Jesus is going to come and baptize with the Holy Ghost. Now let's put on the screen Matthew 28 and 19. Matthew 28, 19, very familiar passage of scripture. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. There again, that's water baptism. So we understand salvation, we understand water baptism, and we understand that those are two different experiences. Am I right about it? All right, now we're going to spend most of our time talking from the baptism, which is the third one, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is, again, a different experience, and this is the role of Jesus, all right? Jesus had two primary ministries while he was here on the earth. He did a whole lot of stuff, you got it? But he had two primary ministries. So go with me to John, the first chapter and the 29th verse. John, the first chapter and the 29th verse. And let's read it and kind of find out what they were. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, here it is, first thing, which taketh away the sin of the world. That was the first, one of the first ministries for Jesus. The whole reason Jesus came to this earth ultimately is so that he could die, that he could shed his blood, that he could present it to the Father, which would wipe the slate clean for you and wipe the slate clean for me. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad he came and did what he did. Amen. Amen. It says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, because how many know Jesus always was, even before he walked the earth? And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. John says, hey, I do the water thing. And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, talking about Jesus, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, talking about Jesus, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is the one that brings us to Christ. You got it? The disciples did some baptizing back in the day. John did some water baptizing back in the day. And now it's the job of the local church to do that. But here we see when it comes to being baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is really the job of Jesus. People like to really fuss about this because have you ever heard people say that it's not for today? Of course you have. And so then we ask, okay, well, how long is Jesus to function in this capacity? How long is he to function in this capacity? So let me just throw some scriptures out there to you. I'm going to go through them rather quickly. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 8th verse, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and he don't change. You got it? He doesn't change. All right. John 14 and 16. We read this a couple Sundays ago. John 14 and 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, helper, parakletos. Y'all remember that, right? That he may abide with you how often? Forever. All right. So we see it. Let's look. Let's keep rolling. Acts 1, verses 4 through 5. Acts 1, verses 4 through 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. You remember, we ended with this on Sunday. Does anybody remember what the promise was? To be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus begins to tell them, you got it, that you cannot. I got to calm down because I get excited every time I get around this part. He says you have to wait for the promise of the Father. The promise was, you know, that you were going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He says, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with what class? Which is a different experience. He said, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days. So we see these different experiences, and we see that they have not gone away. All right. So Acts 2, 1 through 4. Let's keep reading. Acts 2, 1 through 4. Y'all with me? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven, what's another word for cloven? Anybody remember? Individual or divided. That's right. No, divided is what the scripture says. So they were divided tongues, but it means individual. So they were cloven or divided or individual tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled, same as baptized, with the Holy Ghost, and began to do what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to see something. I want you to see something before I go any further. The Holy Spirit, watch this now. The Holy Spirit shows up. The presence of God shows up. But you notice that the presence of God doesn't make them speak. It says, and they began to speak. And a lot of times when people come to get filled, you know, with the Holy Spirit, of course, we know we pray. We receive it by faith. Those kind of things. People lay hands on you. You don't have to lay hands. We'll see it in Scripture two different ways in a few minutes. But a lot of times people are sitting there waiting. You know, don't take this the wrong way, but they're almost waiting for something magical to happen. But what happens to happen is I have to open my mouth by faith and begin to speak. And for some people, it's just a syllable or two. You got it. And so, you know, when I first, as a little boy, I was filled in an all-night prayer meeting. And I remember I was just on the altar. And, you know, of course, at different points throughout the night, my father and other people would get up and they talk about different things. And then they talked about, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they begin to talk about it and they say, hey, if you want to be filled, you know, we'll lay hands on you, or you can just begin to pray and receive him by faith. And then as you do that, you can just begin to open your mouth and speak. And I remember that was like the weirdest thing for me, especially as a kid. You know, I speak now and I can just flow so good. But it's almost, watch this, it's almost like when you first begin to talk English. You got it? Like if I wanted something and I wanted that water, I would just point and say, Dad, Dad. That's all I did. I didn't say, hey, Dad, can you get me that water, please? Right? Because I was learning. It's the same way. That heavenly language is the same way. You got it? It's the same, you know, because what you don't understand is when I pointed and said, Dad, Dad, I was saying, hey, Dad, can you get me that water, please? But I was not able to articulate like that at that time. So when I was filled with the Spirit, you know, it was just some syllables that really almost didn't make a whole lot of sense. But the more I prayed and the more I spent time with God, the more that language just began to flow out of me. Does that make sense? To the degree now, you know, it just, when I speak it, it just flows. All right. So the day of Pentecost is the first time that Jesus ever baptized anyone with the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to Acts 2 and 37. Acts 2 and 37. All right. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart. This is when Peter was preaching, and day of Pentecost, that whole thing is taking place. They're hearing, the Galileans speaking their heavenly language, and the writer says, let me start back over. Now, when they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we need to do? Watch what Peter says. Then Peter said unto them, what's the first word? Repent. First baptism. Salvation. First thing you need to do is get saved. And then what's the word after repent? The first word after repent. And. So you see, because it's a different experience. So he says, get saved. And after you get saved, be baptized. Talking about water baptism, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. What's the next word after sins? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he says there's three different ones. Why do you get worked up? Because I'm so upset when I hear people telling people that really need this feeling, really need this heavenly language that builds them up, that helps them pray the perfect will of God for their lives, that gives them a joy they never had, that gives them, you know, a peace that they never had, that gives them a boldness that they never had. And then somebody, because that's a little weird to them and they don't want to release faith for it, tells everybody it's not for today. Verse 39 says, for the promise, which is being filled with the Spirit, is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we see that is for everyone. All right. Now, oh, this is good. Acts 19 and 1. This is where I've been trying to get. Acts 19 and 1. Let me give you the backdrop of Acts 19 and 1, because if you were to read the whole book of Acts tonight, you would think that Acts 19 was just a day or two after Acts 1. Acts 19 was actually 30 to 40 years after the day of Pentecost. And what happened was they hung around for a little while, and then the Lord let them know, y'all ain't all supposed to just be hanging around, you know, being happy. Y'all are supposed to go and spread this gospel, spread this good news, get people saved, get them water baptized, and get them filled with the Spirit. And so now the word in Acts 19 at this point is spreading like wildfire. Watch this. You might know some of these cities. It went through cities like Philippi and Corinth and Colossae and Ephesus, where we get the books that Paul wrote from. Well, how did that work? Because when Paul and the other apostles were going to set up these different ministries, when Paul would leave, he would still write letters to encourage them. They would write letters and ask him questions. He would write letters back and answer those. And so that's where we get a lot of our New Testament. And so so Acts 19, watch this. This is 30, 40 years later. So it shows it wasn't just for those on the day of Pentecost. I have a friend, he's a Baptist preacher. I absolutely love him. I mean, I love him. But he believes it was only for those on that one day. You got it? But I'm not going to be upset with him. I'm not going to change my mind about him. You got it? I just told him, don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You know, you'll be okay as long as you just don't start, you know, you don't want to have partake in that. Okay, fine, you saved, you're going to go to heaven. Right? But don't start talking against the Holy Ghost, because that's where you're going to have some trouble. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, watch this, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So it's a different experience. I know you got saved, but have you gotten filled? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We heard about Jesus. We heard that if we accept them into our heart, that we shall be saved. But we haven't heard about any Holy Ghost. All right? Watch this. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? He said, John's baptism. In other words, we just get saved, and then they take us down by the water. And so that's, you know, and then that's all we're going to do. Then said Paul, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. So they accepted it, they got saved, then they were baptized. Verse 6, and when Paul, watch this, laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. So they felt the presence of God, but watch this. It doesn't say that the Holy Spirit made them speak, did it? It says, and they spake with tongues, and they even prophesied. And so here we see all three. And so let me, if you're taking notes, write this down. If not, you know, we got the podcast. You can go back and reference it. In Acts 8 and Acts 19, they laid hands and the people received. In Acts 2 and Acts 10, they did not lay hands and the people received. All right, so watch this. So when we have opportunities where we'll say, hey, we're going to lay hands on you for to receive, that's good, right? But if you were in a position or a place where there was nobody to lay hands on, you say, I'm ready. You got it. You don't have to have anybody lay hands on you, because it's more of a matter of faith than it is somebody laying hands on you. Does that make sense? All right. Luke 11 and 13 teaches us, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask? So the criteria for me to have this heavenly language is that I must be saved. That's the criteria. I have to be saved. And then I have to believe by faith that he is for me too. And I fully believe, I fully receive Holy Spirit. Fill me till I overflow. You got it? And it's just that simple. What is this heavenly language? What is this heavenly language? I'm going to wrap it up in just a few minutes, because what we're going to do is we're going to worship God in just a few minutes at the end. I want to worship God, and if you're here and you're not filled and you want to be filled, you're going to have the opportunity. And like I told you before, nothing spooky is going to happen, because I don't believe in spooky. I'm not spooky. You got it. And Holy Spirit is definitely not spooky. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so and when I call them in a few minutes, the worship team's going to come, and we're just going to just really just worship God. And if you want to be filled, you can be filled. And then if you've just got some other things you need God to do in your life, we just believe he's going to do those things in your life tonight. Amen. Amen. All right. So let me finish up on a few things. What is this heavenly language? Okay, Pastor, I kind of get it now. It's the will of God for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, you have kind of pushed the point, okay, and I meant to, all right? But talk to me about this heavenly language. It's a language that allows my spirit to pray directly to God, all right? Romans 8 and 26, I love the scripture because it really explains it. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know, watch this, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. There are sometimes, there's situations in our lives that, you know, and we don't really know what exactly we should pray. But the Bible says, because we can give this heavenly language, and as we begin to pray in the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, for he, watch this, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So it is a language that allows my spirit to pray directly to God, because remember, we are a spirit, we possess a soul, and we live on the inside of a physical body. My spirit is really who I am, and it's how I communicate with God. Does that make sense? All right. So why should we use this language? Why should we use this language? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked. We should use this language. Number one, when we use this language, we pray the perfect will of God for our lives. We pray the perfect will of God for our lives. Come get this, Ben. We pray the perfect will of God for our lives. Worship team, why don't y'all come? And I don't know about you, but I'd rather pray the perfect will of God for my life instead of trying to guess. Right? And so it causes me to pray the perfect will of God. So watch this. So there are times when I'm believing God and I'm praying for the ministry, and I almost have this unction that maybe I should do this, but I'm not quite sure. You got it? And I can pray and God say, well, God, you know, help me. Or let me know what I should do. But that's all I can really say. But to the degree I really begin to pray in the Spirit, you got it? Now, watch this, the Holy Spirit is taking over and beginning to pray out the perfect will of God for my life. And watch this, and as the perfect will of God is being prayed out for my life, it's like, man, I begin to get this unction. Now, okay, I've got this green light, like, yeah, I should do this. Or no, I shouldn't do this. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows what the mind of God is. You got it. And he helps me communicate. All right. Second thing is we edify and build up ourselves. The Bible says building up ourselves on our most holy faith when we pray in the Holy Ghost. The next one is when we pray in our English, listen to this. Our thoughts, our prejudice, and our fears can intervene because we organize our prayers in our minds. So it's hard for you to pray for your enemies in English. Because doesn't the Bible say pray for your enemies? But when you think about your enemy, and it's hard to call out their name, because the moment you call out their name, you start thinking everything that they, how they treated you, how they lied on you, how they did this and that, because we organize our prayers. But when I pray in my heavenly language, I'm able to pray for my enemies. I'm able to intercede for my family. I'm able to pray for my church. I'm able to pray for the perfect will of God for my life. Does that make sense? So don't just get caught up in the language. And we need the language, but there's a boldness that comes on me to live a victorious life. Pentecost is the empowerment for us to walk righteous in an unrighteous earth. Remember what I said, Jesus came to make us righteous and put us in right standing with God, right? Holy Spirit came to empower us to live righteously. And when the law was given, they couldn't keep it. They had no power to keep it. But he empowers us to live a righteous life. So when I receive the Holy Spirit, boldness shows up. Let's stand all over the building. Let's go to worship with the lights. Can we do that? Yeah, that's good, Courtney. Come on, buddy. Yeah. So watch this. Watch this. When I receive the Holy Spirit, boldness shows up. There are believers that love the Lord, but they fall at every temptation. And I don't believe it's because they're a bad person. I just don't believe that. I never have believed that. You can ask my family. They've always heard me say, I've always believed from day one that I really believe people want to do the right thing. I just always believed that. But there's believers that they fall at every temptation. Why? They need that next step. They need that next step to be empowered. Peter was with Jesus 3 years learning and couldn't tell one little girl that he was with Jesus. Am I right? But 50 days later, gets filled with the Spirit. All of a sudden, a boldness comes on him. He preaches and 3,000 people get saved. So you see the difference? So that's why Ephesians 5 and 18 says, hey, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. No, you don't need all that. Well, what's debauchery, Pastor? Living a life that's out of control. He said, don't be filled up on alcohol that's going to just cause you to get drunk and do something crazy. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. So what are the steps? Because we're going to pray. So the steps are, number one, right now, you have to remove every barrier. Because the enemy will try to, in your mind, a couple things. In your mind, you know, the enemy will try to say, because you're going to go down there and ain't nothing going to happen and you're going to feel dumb. Or the Holy Spirit, or the enemy will say, well, you know, people probably think that you're already filled, and that's a bad reason for you not to come. That's a bet. That's called pride. I mean, we have so many leaders in our church, and I understand that they come from all different backgrounds. I understand everybody's probably not filled. And so my thing is, even if you're a leader tonight, you got it. Don't let that stop you. So you have to remove every barrier and say, I want all of you. Second thing we do is we request the gift of the Holy Spirit because he's a free gift. The third thing we do is we receive him by faith. I read Galatians 3 and 13 already to you on Sunday. Christ is redeemed from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. I'm actually just quoting KJV. I have NIV up there. It almost throws me off. And it goes on to say that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So I want to remove all barriers. I want to request the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then I want to receive him by faith. After I receive him by faith, it's a done deal. After I receive him by faith, I relate to him daily. I pray to him daily. I talk to him daily. And listen, once I receive, I receive. Like, once I receive by faith. Even, watch this, even it's hard to say. Sometimes it's 60, 70% of the people, they'll speak immediately, and then, you know, another 20 or 30 might not. It does not mean that you were not filled because I receive it by faith. Let me help you. When the devil attacks your body and you pray and you lay hands on yourself and you say, Father, I thank you that Jesus took 39 stripes. By his stripes, I'm healed. I believe, I receive that I'm healed right now in Jesus' name. When do you believe you receive that you're healed? Right then. Watch this. Even if the healing doesn't manifest for a week later or 2 weeks later, you know that I'm already healed. Isn't that right? Same thing with being filled with the Spirit. And I have to explain these things to you because it'll take away fear. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the magnificent name of Christ Jesus. I thank you for your word that's come forth with simplicity. Father, we thank you for those that have the desire tonight to be filled with your Spirit. Right now, I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that would come against their mind and their emotions in the name of Jesus. I curse the spirit of fear right now, the authority of the name of Jesus that will cause them to not step out and receive this free gift. That will cause them to have a level of boldness, to live a life, Father, where they can pray your perfect will for their lives. So, Father, I thank you right now that they're free. They're free to receive